Braindead Radio presents...
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
Lion face.
Lion face.
Lemon,
lemon face.
Face.
Lion face. Face.
Lemon,
lemon face.
Face.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. Oh shit, we're actually on. This is the Ed Hawken Show. I'm Ed Hawken.
This is Randall.
Yes, and we are back once again. I have to say, it is a very nice day out there today, wouldn't you say, Randall?
It is, yeah. We're getting some uncharacteristically nice weather for Southern California.
I know, shocking as that may be. It's
I say nice weather, but everybody envies the weather that we have out here, but it's usually really, really, really hot.
That's true.
It's livable today.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is what we get in exchange for paying our super high rents and our car insurance, is that we actually have very nice weather, and we don't have winter for 9 months. So it's very nice that way, actually.
Yeah, I like the winter. I envy the winter in other states, except for, like, the heavy snow and stuff like that, because obviously that's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you don't want to shovel snow, because that's just going to risk getting you a heart attack, and, you know, no one wants that. You got to, hire some local hooligan to get the shovel your sidewalk. I mean, I'm sure our Midwestern listeners can definitely agree that they don't want to do it. So they envy us, and... they can wish that the state falls into the sea all they want, but escape from L.A. is not going to happen, so like it or not. But yeah, it's a very pleasant day today. Also, today is, for you fellow Californians out there, is actually Harvey Milk Day. It's celebrating the birth of, Mr. Harvey Milk, a very, famous pioneer, So it's nice, I would say.
Well said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But other than that, what's going on this weekend? There's another very important thing going on, and that's the Lost series finale. Isn't that correct?
That's not going on this week.
It's not? I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, is it going on tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I'm out of the loop on this.
You watched the show.
I thought it was just good. I thought they were just showing it on Tuesday. I'm glad you brought it up. Otherwise, I would have missed it.
No, it's.
I thought they were
Sunday.
Just showing it at its normal time.
No, it's Sunday. Jimmy Kimmel's got a thing going on. I think it's tomorrow.
Oh shit! Okay, well,
yeah, there's a front page thing, the LA Times. So you're really excited for the end of Lost? You think you get all your mysteries solved?
By this point, I am just waiting to see what the hell happens. After the last few episodes, it's hard to be like really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just like, well, let's see what the hell explanations we're going to get out of this stuff.
Do you think you're going to get any satisfaction at all from the...
I'm not counting on it.
Do you expect anything just to be completely weird ass and it's just like...
It's already gotten to that point, and now it's just a matter of like how they're going to wrap all this up.
Mm. I see. Well, I never followed Lost, so I can't say much about it, but hopefully, you know, things will...
Well, it's the end of an era for TV in a lot of ways, because all the new shows that were sort of the new part of the new golden age of television, mm-hmm. In the early 2000s, moving into this last decade here, there's a lot of great TV that happened,
right.
And kind of raised the bar, and a lot of these shows are disappearing slowly but surely.
Well, I wouldn't put Smallville in that category though.
It's arguable because the quality of the show is so inconsistent.
Smallville had never had quality.
Well, there's some technical stuff that's really great on the show. Like, it's got some... for a while, it had some really, really great cinematography by Glenn Winter.
Mm-hmm.
And the production design was really cool. And the locations were great. They shoot in Vancouver and stuff.
Right.
And even in some of the later episodes now, they've done a lot with production design, with like integrating cool parts of the mythology like the Daily Planet and
uh-huh.
all this stuff. We get to see elements that were never really present in the movies and were kind of... Yeah, they did the new movies.
They still have the same theme song, the Remy Zero theme song?
They do. They're still going strong with the Remy Zero. The band broke up many years ago. But
they did.
Yeah,
that album with
Saban. They keep using that song, though. And,
no kidding.
I would say, speaking of this and television, their finale they just had was probably the best episode of the entire series, which, of course,
that's
isn't
not saying very much.
Saying a lot, but it was very cool, very well done. For what it was, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully their last season will be pretty cool.
I just want the WB to finally bring back Invasion
there
America.
Is no WB.
Oh, that's right, the CW. I just want the CW to bring back Invasion America. That was a good cartoon miniseries that had aliens and shit in it. So.
I never saw that.
Oh, it's very good. You can watch it on YouTube, and it was like a really big thing. It was like one of the first major things the CW, well, back then the WB, did. It was a cartoon, 5-part miniseries, had Ryder Strong in it, I think is the buddy. Lorenzo Lamas is the alien freedom fighter. Leonard Nimoy, it was created by Harv Bennett, I think. And it was, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was in that time in the 90s when we didn't, you know, this is obviously before we, you know, terrorism really reared its head, that we had a big alien obsession in the 90s. So yeah, this fit right in, and I enjoyed it. It has some very crude CGI, but it's an adult cartoon.
If you could sum up the 90s in two elements, I think it'd be aliens and coffee houses.
I agree with that. I think you know, if there were some aliens attacking Seattle, that would have been a 90s orgasm right there. So
yeah,
it's hard to define, but although that the whole aliens thing I think started really in the mid 90s. Really, I mean that was because of the X-Files, and then
X-Files was early 90s.
X-Files was 1993.
Yeah,
so early, that's like mid 90s.
Early 90s.
Early to mid, and then obviously Independence Day. It was the idea at the time there was no actual enemy. So, oh, we were proved wrong, I could say. But, yeah, there's that. There's the end of Law & Order. I know there's the end of 24, which should have ended years ago, but I only watched the first two seasons of 24. So I gave up after that. I just know they go through presidents like Spinal Tap goes through drummers. So have you been trying to watch 24 lately? Because I sure should.
I've never seen an episode of 24.
Mm. Okay, I would definitely say the first season's the best, even though Kim Bauer is a complete and utter fuck-up, but I enjoyed... The one thing I liked about the season one of 24, and I know I hate to keep bringing this up, but they filmed some stuff locally, and there's a furniture store that is 3 blocks from where I used to live when I lived in Van Nuys, and, you know, Kim Bauer and her friend, you know, are there, you know, go in and, like, crash the place and all that. It's like, oh, look at that, I recognize that. But yeah, there's 24...
Where was the furniture store? What streets was it on?
It's on Van Nuys and Van Owen. It's next to the Citibank.
Oh, I know
it used
where
to
that.
Be a baby furniture store.
I know where that is, yeah.
And it just became a regular furniture store. And I'm like, oh, I recognize the entire place.
That's a shitty area. They must have not had to pay much to get that location.
I wouldn't doubt it. But, yeah, 24 is ending. And like I said, Law & Order. I'm not crazy about the idea that they're going to do Law & Order LA, but I
am so fucking pumped about that, Law & Order Los Angeles.
Yeah, only if they get Kurtwood Smith to be in the show will I actually be somewhat interested. I haven't heard that, whether or not it's true, but, you know, I remember that being speculated at one point. No, and if they had Ed O'Neill, well, he's doing Modern Family right now. It's like, oh, well, I'd watch anything with Ed O'Neill in it.
If they can get Kurtwood Smith in Law & Order Los Angeles, who was your dream cast for Law & Order Los Angeles?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, like, I would want, you know, Ed O'Neill, Clancy Brown, Kurtwood Smith. Man, I can't think of actually any.
Who, what about the two detectives? Like, if you had any.
Oh, Clancy Brown is one of the detectives.
One of the detectives.
Yes.
Not a bad idea.
Yes, and then I suppose you get a female partner. I'm very lacking on actresses. I can't think of an actress that I'd say, yeah, she's a badass, and I want to see her work. So it's tough. I can't. You know what? Just bring back Walter Goggins as one of the other. Bring back Shane Vendrell. Even though he's dead. Spoiler alert. You know, it's maybe bring him back because Walton Goggins is always good to see him getting work. I don't know. I can't think of any actresses.
I would really say for the two detectives, I would want, because it's Hollywood, you know, it'd be like Hollywood, Los Angeles stuff. Mm-hmm. I would say Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. as the two cops.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. Bring him back.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, I personally would rather see a cop show set in some other city. They're actually going to do a cop show with Michael Imperioli, and it's set in Detroit.
I don't know who that is.
Michael Imperioli was in The Sopranos. He was Spider in Goodfellas. And
I'm drawing a blank here.
He was the kid who got shot in the foot in Goodfellas. And
oh,
then he
God.
Got killed.
How the hell was I supposed to remember the kid that got shot? I mean, I remember the scene. I remember the scene. I don't remember the guy, though, the actor.
Yeah, that's him.
That's some obscure shit right there.
Really?
I mean that you would remember who, not you personally, I just mean like that anyone could recall the actor off the top of their head.
Well,
it just seems
like
really
obscure.
He's
in The Sopranos. He's in
Sopranos. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And so that you got that. So other than that, there's not much going on for broadcast TV. I doubt there's anything really broadcast TV has going for it right now.
There's some shows I keep hearing about, but I haven't seen them. I watch Community, which has been really inconsistent. Not that that's... Not in a bad way, but mm-hmm. it's been like, based on the pilot and then the subsequent episodes, each episode seems to be part of a different series. It doesn't really, it's not as cohesive as it probably should be.
I heard 30 Rock is the same way. 30 Rock is great, but I have heard it hasn't been doing as well lately, but I haven't been paying attention, so.
Yeah, and then The Office has been doing better than usual. I mean, at least for a while, I thought it was kind of falling off. It was getting a little weird, but.
I think the only show, as I said, is Modern Family. It's like the only thing that's really been, you know, hitting it off with broadcast TV, because I honestly cannot think of it. I think the only other shows I can think of is like Cold Case is going off the air, and like
is Cold Case still on the air?
Not
right
anymore.
Right now?
Not anymore. It went off. Well, it's always on TNT. It's surprising that show is not on DVD, and that's because of the music rights. That's why you never get the Wonder Years on DVD, because of the music rights.
Yeah. Oh, wait, speaking of TV and music rights, I'm wondering how the hell they were able to put Supernatural on DVD. With all the music, all of the heavy soundtrack that they would use in there, like established.
Well, they probably worked that out ahead of time.
Cause
you have a lot of older shows.
There's a lot of like classic rock stuff in there that's really cool. It has a great soundtrack. And incidentally, the reason I bring that up is because I've been watching the first season of Supernatural at the request of some BDR
associates.
Yes, and so far so good. It's right now. I think what it's got going for it is. There's nothing really bad about the show. It's very cool. And it's got some great photography. It looks good. The show's really cool looking. And the premise works well enough, and it's a lot of fun. There's some great gore, though. And someone had told me that. I forgot who it was, that the gore was amazing. And I was watching some stuff, specifically the episode with the skinwalker, I think they called him, the guy who could shapeshift. And he was transforming,
I
think I
saw
some of that. So fucking gory.
I saw
for
that,
a TV show. Yeah. It was mind blowing. I was really blown away by how.
Yeah, because he comes back in the second season.
Oh yeah, hey, I'm still in the first season, man.
Oh damn it,
Jesus. So I'm 9 episodes of the first season. No spoilers, dude.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so far so good. It's been pretty cool. I don't know where it's going. It feels like the show has yet to reach its full potential, so I'm still giving it a shot, because there have been some episodes that have felt a little slow, or they're kind of rerunning the same premise over and over again. But I'm enjoying it, you know, and it's cool and everything, so we'll see where it goes.
I'm finally
checking it out.
As it's been said, that the first season is like the weakest season, and that it apparently gets better and better.
I don't know.
What
do
you think about your celebrity... you know, counterpart Jensen Ackles playing you.
Celebrity doppelganger.
Yes.
I haven't been impressed with anyone's acting on the show. I mean...
Oh, I agree.
When I say... I mean, I'm not trying to be an asshole about it.
Yeah,
I just,
right.
They do their jobs and everything, and it works, and it doesn't really... Just, it's not horrible, but I haven't been, like, blown away by them yet. I've seen, like, a scene here or there that was impressive and thinking, like, oh, they're really going outside their range. The main guy, Jared... Pedelecki.
Doesn't he look like a caveman?
He's venturing into caveman territory.
What do you mean venturing? He's been there since the beginning.
So his acting has been, in my opinion, probably the weakest part of the show. He seems to only have about two emotions.
Pretty much Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the
I still haven't had a chance to see him. Really,
oh, you'll
show
see him
up
all right.
On the show.
See,
stop.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Stop with the spoilers.
I'm just putting the light out there.
I mean, I know it's going to happen, but like, just don't say anything else, because I don't want to fuck it up.
All right.
So anyway, good show. Keeping it going with that, and checking out slowly but surely.
Yeah. Other than that, there's just like a bunch of new, as usual, cop, lawyer, medical shows, and there was a pilot for a show called Rex Is Not Your Lawyer, and it was going to start David Tennant doing an American accent. I'm like, oh, okay, I would have seen this. So, but it didn't get picked up. And then they're going to do another Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah,
and there was actually an attempt to do a Hawaii 5-0 back in the 90s, and Gary Busey was going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I just talked to a guy who auditioned for Hawaii 5-0, and I forgot who he said was going to play the main character.
I think the Asian dude from Lost is going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That guy's in a lot of stuff. I always see him around.
He was in X3. He played the porcupine guy.
Really?
Yeah. The stupidest mutant power of all time.
No, it can't be as bad as Maggot.
Well, that was from the comic, though. In the movie, he had the stupidest superpower.
Even compared to Mero? Really? The chick who
There was
could
a
grow
guy
bone?
In the movie that was like Mero. Well, I'm talking about the movie specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a guy in the movie that could shoot
quills.
Bones out of his
yeah, that's Mero.
Wrists.
But it was a guy.
A
dude.
It was
okay.
A guy, and he could shoot him, and he was pretty fucking badass. I
really?
Mean, it wasn't a cool character, but he was. He's kind of tough, though. I mean, it was fine.
I still haven't seen X3 just because I figured it's going to be sucky.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's a total.
But the Danger Room is in it, and that was kind of cool, kind of almost cool.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about that, about X-Men, because I have the first and second movie. Could you now believe it's now been 10 years since that movie first came out?
Yeah,
I was the first time I saw a movie three times in the theater.
That was
blew my mind when I saw it. And yeah, I was like, and that was the first time I got my taste of internet, you know, fanboying, foaming at the mouth.
Oh yeah, that was back when before good comic movies really existed. Like
right,
the last couple good comic movies were really like the 89 Batman was the last one up until then that had been any good, mm-hmm. and it was like a phenomenon.
It was real slapdash.
And then like Superman in the 70s.
Yeah,
and then
it was really slapdash, and part of that was just because. The major comic book characters were either, I mean, it was DC, so it was Warner Brothers, and then with the Marvel stuff at the time, and I know I've spoken about this before, was that they had been sold to a bunch of different companies that were all out of business. In fact, Spider-Man had been sold to Carlico, which is a production company. If you saw Total Recall, it's Carlico, yeah. Not Coleco, like the old video game system. And Carlico went out of business, and everyone ordered, owned a share of this or that, and eventually, I think it was 98, 99, they finally cleared all the legal crap, and you were able to have the Marvel movies. Now you're going to have talk of the Avenger movies. I remain indifferent, so about that. I think it's going to be really tough to have, a super team movie. The closest to that, I think, probably was X2, and which is, the Wrath of
Khan. The X-Men are all team movies, man.
Not true, but I just think, X2 is really pulling it off, though.
Yeah,
I know you don't like Bryan Singer, but that movie was his Wrath of Khan.
Well, I don't. I'm not a fan of Bryan Singer, but the I did enjoy his take on X-Men.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think he should have gotten the third one, even though I know but he wanted.
Yeah, but he fucked up into this stupid Superman movie.
Yeah,
that movie was such a burn, dude. That Superman movie was such a fucking burn. Fuck you, yeah. Bryan Singer. If you're listening, I hold that against you. I waited when that movie came out.
Did you go to Midnight Showing of Superman?
I didn't. I went to the day before because they were showing it at the AMC on Burbank.
Yeah.
And I waited 3 hours in line because I was so pumped about seeing Superman because I thought, Bryan Singer can't really fuck this up. This is going to be awesome. And, oh boy, was I wrong, man. That was awful. That was fucking horrible.
Was everyone coming out of the theater pissed? Or?
I don't even remember. I was in shock. I had to be wheeled out on the stretcher.
Yeah, it wasn't like the way when I saw Spider-Man on the big screen.
I'm sorry.
That was exhilarating.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great, the first one. In Superman Returns, what was really funny, too, that made it even worse. And, this guy next to me and his kid, this guy was a comic book artist. I don't know who he was. He'd been in the industry for a while, but he had kind of... He mentioned it to me, but I didn't really want to talk, whatever, so I didn't, I'm just kind of an asshole like that, but I just didn't feel like talking, so I didn't engage him in conversation about it, but he just kind of dropped that casually, and I was like, all right, cool, and then during the movie, he was talking to his kid and explaining every little detail about the movie to his kid, when the writers were on screen, there's a scene where the writers made a brief cameo,
right.
He'd lean over and whisper, he'd do that loud whisper, where you're not really whispering, and he'd be like, those are the writers! Those are the guys who wrote the movie. Look, it's their cameo. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
and and then it got so general, it was retarded. Like that thing on the back of Superman's, on the back of him, it's a cape. He's look, he's flying right now. He has stupid shit like that.
Right.
He's just making these dumbass comments the entire movie. And then the movie was already awful. And then that didn't help. And
yeah, I've never seen Superman. I've never seen it. And for good reason because that's such bad press. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit here and waste
it's ridiculous.
My time.
And it's ridiculous. And it turned it into this tragedy, this sort of weird Greek tragedy
with the original movie shoehorned in.
Oh, and it's practically a remake.
And they didn't even have the common decency to fit in John Cryer. I mean, really. If they had made
a sequel where it was the revenge of John Cryer's character, the guy who was Luthor's fucking nephew.
With his skunked hair.
Oh, yeah. I would have totally been all over that.
Yeah.
That would have been way better than what they already did.
Canon production. But
yeah.
It
made... it's funny because, The Quest for Peace is not a good movie, but at least it had something happening in it. There's action and shit going on, and even though it's
totally disjointed.
It's totally stupid, but you're like, well, at least something's happening. I mean, it has momentum at some level.
Something.
Yeah, the new one had no pulse. It was just dead.
Yeah, which is a shame because Kevin Spacey is Lex Luthor. It's like, hot damn, that's perfect casting.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, they didn't develop his character at all. It looked like they had no direction for his character. It was just be here and be bald, and that's it.
Yeah, that's not too difficult for Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, they're your motivation is that you don't like Superman,
and you're involved in yet another real estate scam.
The dumbest real estate scheme of all time.
Since Otisburg.
Right.
Oh my God. If they were gonna retcon the original movies, they should have fit in Ned Beatty somehow.
Yeah, all the coolest actors they could have brought back in were oddly, you know, absent from it, like Ned Beatty and stuff.
Well, because Ned Beatty was doing something else worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah.
Like drinking a beer or something.
Anything, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I never saw the original. I mean, there's always been talk of, like, they're going to do a new Superman. Eventually, they're going to get around to it, but we'll see.
The closest we're getting is Smallville, so that's why I watch that show. I dig it just because I'm a huge Superman nerd, so it's cool.
God, I mean, I haven't watched Smallville since the first season when it was Villain of the Week.
Yeah.
I remember they had the insect guy, and then Dan Loria was the pyrokinetic.
Yeah, the last, never mind. Oh,
you can't spoil Smallville. Come on now.
I can. There's actually something really cool that happened in the finale. If anyone doesn't give a shit about the show but kind of wants to see some cool shit, they should watch the finale from this last season that just happened.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a cool thing that goes on that's a pretty big deal for the fans.
No kidding.
It's a lot of fun.
So, yeah, that's about it on the TV end, I would say. But, definitely. So else, what else is going on? I had to deal with jury duty this week. I thought I was going to be done. You know, I had called 4 days, the first 4 days. They didn't need me. Thursday afternoon, at work, I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably in the clear. I type it in. They tell me to report in on Friday. Obviously, I nearly yelled.
You dropped trowel.
I didn't drop trowel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did slam my fist on the desk. I didn't say, fuck! It's like, dear Lord, that's the loudest profanity I've ever heard.
You just went fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, I did get very upset. And
did you cry?
I didn't cry, but I was really upset because I was panicking the fact that, you know, as a single man with not much in the way of savings living in an expensive city such as Los Angeles, I do not need anything like jury duty that could possibly fuck me over as I was sitting at work, fuck me over with a barbed wire-laden corn cob. And that's something original. That's from a book, actually. It's being made into a movie. I forgot the name of it. I think it's...
I don't want to see that movie, if that happens.
It's a book involving a guy who appears to be, like, the local town dullard. He's, like, a deputy sheriff in a small southern town in the early 50s. And it turns out he's actually he's a very intelligent psycho killer.
Yeah.
And it was getting press in Sundance because it featured Casey Affleck as the deputy. I think his name was Lou Ford. I'm not sure what it's called. Someone will have to find that out. I'm sure, like, the Kale could tell us what it is. But
anyway, you're talking about jury duty.
Yeah, jury duty. So I had to show up on Friday, and I could not sleep a wink on Thursday night. I was freaking out. I had mentally prepared my argument in case I was brought in to a trial to say to the judge why I could not go. I was ready to say, you call my CEO, because you're going to have to tell him you're just going to cost the company thousands of dollars. Because
you're going to threaten a judge.
No, I'm telling him basically that's the consequence of putting me on the jury.
Yeah.
I have to do stuff on Monday where I have to execute some transactions and I need to pay these bills that are due on Tuesday. And if not, it's a credit card. It's going to get hit with thousands of dollars in fees. More importantly, one of the properties that's using the card can't get work done because it's hitting their limit because they do a lot of renovation work through the card, so it has to be paid off a lot. Basically, my work doesn't stop, and my work does not have an adequate coverage system. So I haven't taken a day off since October, which is my birthday. I mean, mainly because there's nothing really out. I don't have anything to do, so I don't have any. I mean, I know in July I'm going to see MGMT, so I'm going to take that day off. And then there's the Anime Expo a couple of weeks before, but I'll probably go on to Saturday. I mean, just for the hell of it.
I got a random question for you here about this jury duty thing. Because everyone hates jury duty, and we all got our own jury duty.
Anyone who's never been served with a jury duty notice, and, you know, or nerdist, about whatever. Should be very much punched in the cock.
Wait. So let's say your only way out of jury duty was that they'd put you in a room, handcuff you to a hobo, and make you knife fight him?
No.
Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would say what the jury system should do is do what they did in the Civil War era. If you want to get out of jury duty, you pay a price to get someone else to fill in for you. And you don't make it like a huge fee because I think it was like a few hundred bucks in the Civil War era. Yeah. So you say, if you give us $30, you don't have to do jury duty.
$30?
Why not? I'd pay $30 to get out of jury duty.
Well, yeah. They'd get a lot of fucking money, too.
You're damn right.
But then only crazy people would end up going to these things.
No, it'd be professional jurors. Moral of the story is that if you happen to get yourself into a situation where you're arrested and you're about to put on trial, go with the judge. Don't go with the jury. The jury is going to automatically hate your ass. And now the courthouse I had to go to was in downtown. I thankfully could take the mass transit, which was fine. You know, it was a courthouse I never heard of. It handled traffic cases. And what I was like wondering is like, well, why? I mean, these are all chicken shit ticket things. Why are they doing trials? And then they said in the room, you know, it's DUI and hit and run. I'm like, oh shit. Well, now in this case, it's like clearly I could say the guy is guilty because what is your defense on a DUI exactly?
Yeah.
You blew the breathalyzer.
Yeah.
You can't. There's no going back. What were you? You know, drinking mouthwash? You know, this isn't like eating poppy seeds.
Well, what if
it
was someone who's an alcoholic who just has it in their bloodstream all the time?
They're not going to be...
But they're not necessarily drunk. They're functionally drunk.
They're still under the influence. That's a DUI. Even though they could drink a functional drunk.
I think there's some people who are just permanently under the... Like, not under the influence, but alcohol has poisoned their bodies.
Oh,
it just spews out of them constantly.
Well, then, still, they shouldn't drive, even if they can function. So, yeah, it's that and hit and run. How do you defend yourself against hit and run? You ran from the hit. Well, what are you going to say? So... Anyway, and that was further clarified because...
what if you had somewhere to go? What if it was like you were really busy?
Is it that important because you hit the guy? And now, first off, there was a story a few years ago where a guy driving, he had to get to a shift at Denny's and he was late. He was driving this real piece of shit Volkswagen. He had hit a homeless person. The guy went through the windshield, just kept on driving. drove right through.
Threw him out of the car and then kept going?
No, I think he was hanging through the windshield.
He just kept going?
Yeah.
Shit, man.
He did not stop.
That guy's going to be employee of the year.
I think he did lose his job at Denny's.
Did he? He brings a homeless guy inside? Somebody called 911.
Well, no, like, I think the guy was dead.
I got to get to the kitchen.
Just kept driving.
He was dead?
Yeah.
He killed the guy?
Yeah.
He was driving around with a corpse hanging out of his car?
I think so.
That guy's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
No wonder he's
driving
at Denny's.
So I had to sit through jury duty. Thankfully, I did not get called in, which was a huge relief. And then I went to celebrate. I went out last night. And the funny thing is, as I said, I learned what trials I had because when I was out drinking at my usual bar, talking to my bartender, I actually was talking to this guy who's also a regular, who's an assistant district attorney, and he was telling me, it's like, oh, you know, they do a lot of drunk driving cases in that courthouse. And in fact, the bar we were drinking in, he was talking about he had actually learned about the bar from testimony of this one guy who was busted for DUI. So, and the guy, like, and he had drank at the same bar, not at the same time, but he had drank at that bar, so he was familiar with the size of the drinks that the bar served. Now, the defense attorney caught wind of this and tried to appeal it as some sort of conflict of interest. The appellate court immediately threw it back in her face. So, anyway, as I said, I got out of jury duty. On the way back, there was a couple of interesting things. First, I found $7 on the ground, which I used to cover the cost of the Burger King I unfortunately purchased at lunch.
$7? Like,
yeah.
Was it all singles?
No, it was like a fiver.
Was it in quarters?
No, it was just a $5 and 2 singles. It's funny when I find money on the ground, it's always very neatly folded. I don't know why that happens. But, so I found money. But then the other interesting thing is I was on the, what's known as the Red Line in town. It's our subway. So, I'm on the subway, and then there's this guy who shows up, kind of looks like, a gutter punk or something like that.
Gutter punk?
Yeah, basically.
Can you elaborate? I'm not sure.
What I mean is kind of like a trashy looking punker. And he had...
Hobo punk.
Something like that. You know, like a street kid.
Punk bow.
Something like that. Punk bow. So he shows up. Now, this guy kind of looked like a stereotypical punker. It was very lazily done, too. I'm not joking. He had the anarchy symbol tattooed on his shoulder. Below that with a red narical star. That was it. So the guy shows up. I thought, okay, this guy's another passenger. But out of nowhere, he brings his stuff in like a it's kind of like that that wire case thing on wheels. You can some people.
Oh yeah, like a little cage on wheels.
Yeah. So he brings it over
like a basket thing,
and then he hooks the cage to one of the holding bars. So then he does that, and then he immediately proceeds to get out his amplifier and his guitar. And the guy's some kind of busker, I guess. So he starts trying to play a song. I think it was some casualty song. I don't remember what the fuck it was. So anyway, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be kind of fun. No, it wasn't. Because here's a couple of reasons. First off, I thought it was weird the fact that he had to listen to the song on CD before he could play it. It was like, well, a busker is not going to need to listen to the fucking song to know what it is. Second, I'm not a musician. I don't know how a guitar works. But it was god-awful. Because it seemed like he could do part of it, but then he was like... And I'm sure, like Bobby Bear or someone could explain who's played guitar can explain. It sounded like he was strangling the shit out of the neck of the guitar because it was very, very high pitched. Like, the guy could not play. Well,
wait. So it was an electric guitar? Yeah, like
it was
a little
electric guitar
amp
with a little amplifier.
I thought he was like a Wait, so he wasn't a hobo punk. He was
trying to look gutter punk.
So he just... What? Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It was a lazily done punker. I could say if you had written this guy in, you would have thought, man, that is some lazy shit. Well, apparently that happens. So he shows up. He's like, you know, he puts out his, you know, he's going to, like, it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's going to be a little show. And it's like, no. And then there's this one woman who kind of looked like, for your Battlestar fans, kind of looked like President Rosalind. And, like, she was, like, shaking her head. No, she actually runs up, unplugs the amplifier, and then the guy just puts it back in.
Where was it plugged into? I'm kind of, like, fuzzy on this whole scenario. This is on the train, right?
Yeah, on the subway.
Was there an outlet on the train?
It was a portable amplifier.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought when you said it's plugged in, I thought you meant
the guitar is plugged into the amplifier.
No, I get it. She unplugged his amp?
The connector.
Yeah, she just came up and unplugged it.
Yeah, that's ballsy. And then he just plugged it back in. I walked away because I'm like, I didn't want to get my ears blown out because it was high pitched bullshit.
Yeah.
So I immediately, and then the guy's like, some guy's yelling, this music sucks. And then,
dude, what is he? He's trying really hard to get laid.
It's not an issue of getting laid, it's like more of an issue of like, I wonder if someone's going to get up there and beat the shit out of him.
No, I mean, on his part, it sounds like he was trying really, really hard to
or get change, but he didn't have much money there.
How the hell do you get an amp if you're homeless?
Unless because that's all you spend your money on.
Maybe he became homeless and then already had that stuff.
I mean, what about traveling musicians and shit? I'm sure they just spend all their money on musical instruments.
Oh, so he was a rambler.
I guess. I don't know.
He was a rambling man.
I don't know, but so the guy eventually left. I kept expecting, like, a couple of sheriff's deputies were going to appear when the train pulled into the next stop, and the guy's trying to play, and they just see him looking up, and they bust his ass, but that didn't happen. So anyway, that quickly wrapped up. And it really led me to something where, because I remember, I don't know if you remember this, many, many moons ago, we were sitting at the local In-N-Out Burger,
and some guy showed up with a pair
of bagpipes and started wailing.
Yeah, we were sitting there trying to talk, and this guy, the guy came in with the bagpipes and just played them indoors, and they were very loud.
Yeah. See, I always enjoy a good moment of, you know, good street theater where it's very, you know, everyone, you know, there's no harm, and it's like, oh, how interesting. You know, if the guy had shown up with, you know, maybe an accordion or a harp, a very pleasant-sounding musical instrument, maybe a cello, you know, or a long bass, and it was very pleasant, and he could play the damn thing, it's like, oh, that's fun. Or, like, they have the improv everywhere things they do in New York, where they always do something really creative and fun. Yeah. Like, they'll have, like, the mirror images with, like, identical twins sitting across from each other on the subway, so it looks like a giant mirror. Or all the redheads get together to protest Wendy's. Or they do offshore gambling in the middle of the Central Park Lake, old-time style, with a guy saying offshore gambling.
Yeah.
I think they even did a thing where they dressed up as Ghostbusters and showed up at the New York Public Library.
Yeah, they did.
So when
the bagpipe guy came in, it sounded like a fucking funeral in there.
Once again, if you're going to do anything like that, don't play a loud instrument. Play a very pleasant instrument.
Yeah.
You know, just
bring in a harp or...
If it was a group of mariachi, that would have been cool.
Oh, that would have been rad.
Yes. You know, they were all the nally dressed. Hell, if I just saw some mariachi just standing there on the train, I'm like, all right, this is some good stuff.
Yeah.
And then thankfully I felt a little bit better when there was an older woman wearing, I think, what was a vintage Bowie shirt. And I said, that is a fantastic shirt. So that was pretty cool. She was with her daughter.
Yeah.
And
was it like Ziggy Bowie or which Bowie?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah?
It looked of its time.
I was wondering what time, because he's changed so much over the years.
Oh, it was definitely 70s. Era. I think it was definitely Ziggy era.
Okay.
I think it was definitely that. I mean, that was cool to see. And then, as I said, thankfully, I got the hell out of jury duty. Thank God my finances will be sort of okay at this time. And I could finally be back to work, even though, you know, I do want to get a new job for obvious reasons.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I got called into jury duty one time, I had this really shitty job. This is a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I had this really crappy job, and I got to go to paid jury duty for like a week. And,
did you make more jury duty than you did at the other
job? Oh, no. I got paid okay at this place. It wasn't the money problem. I just hated the job. I hated the people over there. And, the jury duty was great. We got a civil case. It was about furniture. Like, yeah. It was awesome. The lawyers were stupid. One of the lawyers was an idiot. It was really entertaining. It was like a reality show, except good, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I really enjoyed jury. I was the only person there that was really digging jury duty.
Yeah, see, if I had been hit with jury duty when I was out of work for a month, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, I got another matter to do. Why not? Put me on that case.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, the other issue is that I do not get paid for my job. I mean, that's a real bullshit thing. Obviously, the laws state that an employer must allow an employee to go out for jury duty. You cannot discriminate an employee because they're required.
Yeah.
So, but they don't have to be told to pay them.
It's funny, though, because some people out here still don't... I don't know how it works anywhere else. I'm just saying out here because, yeah, you know, it's our personal experience. Some people don't follow any of these regulations at all. They don't give a shit. Because even if they have to go to court, they know you're not going to pay. You're not going to really lawyer up to try to sue them for something that really can't be proved, like firing
for
someone
jury duty?
Of jury duty.
Oh, no, no, no. You could. I mean, you would just file
a complaint. I've worked with some people who are fucking shady, and they don't give a shit about anything.
Oh, yeah. They'll if you're working under the table, that's one thing.
No, I don't mean that. I just meant people who don't give a shit about regulation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, ultimately, I mean, if that did happen, you'd file, you know, a complaint with, you know, your appropriate regulatory body, and they'll probably go after you. I mean,
yeah, but then you got to pay court costs and all that shit, and like
you get a lawyer on some contingency thing, and so go to him. It's like, hey, this is discriminatory. You know, get a nice little fee, but if you can,
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, but it's, you know, thankfully, I did not get on a jury, and it just cost me a vacation day. It was basically a kind of 3-day weekend, and you know, thankfully, I won't have too much shit on my desk when I get back on Monday. So. Yeah. I mean, it just really pissed me off because, like, of all the days, they had to call you in on the last day. It was basically, okay, I thought I was done. You just extended my service for God knows how long. So
yeah.
I was freaking out, you know. And, I mean, I have the vacation time to cover it, but more importantly, my work does not stop. I do not want – and I've gotten pretty good at getting the work down, so it's not a huge struggle as much. I did not want to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
I did not – it's like you could not have asked at a worse time. Maybe – give me another 3-4 years, maybe, you know, we can work something out. Because, I mean, eventually I'd like to do my civic duty, but God damn it, not now, man. You could not have picked a worse time.
Yeah, that was so funny, man, because I remember when we went to jury duty down there, and I was having this great time. It's funny, my girlfriend just did jury duty, too, and she hated it. It was the worst experience ever. Yeah. I won't even go into details because it was right. So awful. Mm-hmm. And it was like this attempted murder case and all this nightmare stuff. And it went on for 3 weeks. When I was down there, I told you about that week. Remember that time you came out to visit?
Yeah.
I was out there. It was like a vacation, dude. I was going out. I was in downtown L.A.
I think I was unemployed at that time.
Yeah, and I like never go to downtown L.A. So I went out there, and I was like, oh shit, downtown L.A. is awesome. So we like go around, and we hung out and had lunch and shit.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. It was cool, man.
It is.
Yeah. My next experience probably will not be that good at all. But
right.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, the funny thing is, I was considering stopping off in Hollywood to go get some hot dogs, but had I done that, I wouldn't have found that $7. So,
yeah.
I mean, in fact, I even got let out early. I mean, normally, we got called out. We were told to leave at 3:30, which is actually, you know, because it was a Friday afternoon. I just kept like, I was just sweating every minute, you know. And I was like, okay, it's like 11:00. They're not going to call for lunch at this point. So, like I said, moral of the story: get a judge to handle your case, so I don't have to be on you at panel because I don't want to deal with it. I know some people on the boards are like giving advice of like, well, if you cause a ruckus, you can get out of it. It's like, yeah, if I cause a ruckus, the bailiff is going to taser me in the nuts, and I'm going to be thrown into jail.
No, you know what you do? You just be annoying, but not annoying enough to be held in contempt. Now, the way to do this, there's people that do this, and one way you can do it is that I know of is to interrupt with comments or questions, because the jury can ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can just ask stupid questions after stupid question, but just like, or be incredibly long-winded too.
I was ready to do that with the speech I had.
Yeah. Like if they ask you, like, because they go around and they like they talk to you about everything, and they ask you where you're from and what's going on and you know where you work and stuff, and just go on and on.
Did you talk
and
about
on
the time you
on.
Had an onion on your belt?
Because there was this one lady who was asked about her background.
Yeah.
And she talked forever, and she was talking about how her husband was a dentist, and she believed in dental work, and she believed in white teeth, and she
who
just
doesn't believe
on
in white teeth?
And on.
That's
and
not
on
a racial
and
thing.
On. No. I
know.
But I'm just saying, like, she just went on and on, and then finally the judge was like, you know, get the fuck out of here. Get someone out of here. Let her go. She's insane. So, and I'm assuming that was all an act just to get out of jury duty. I think she'd refined it very well.
Yes.
You got
to
be convincing.
They just tell stories that don't go anywhere. Like I said,
exactly.
You
just
five bumblebees to the rod, and which was the style at the time. So, yeah, it was, like I said, thank God.
They can't hold you in contempt for being crazy.
You got to be careful. I mean, if you remember that episode of 30 Rock, you know, Liz Lemon tried to be crazy, and the jury was loaded with crazy people, including a 10-year-old boy with a mustache. you know, and she was dressed like Princess Leia, and it didn't work. It did not work. I mean, it's brutal that the way of jury duty. I mean, I can't imagine a worse thing to deal with other than maybe getting drafted. But they don't have that now. I don't know if I ever told you that. There was a great thing.
You got drafted?
I did not get drafted. But a history professor of mine, and I'm sure I've said this before in college, said, you know, at the time of the draft, you know, it was never explicitly. Basically, if they had said, we have a draft, because, you know, you still have Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They had a draft, and they said homosexuals are not allowed to serve. The rate of homosexuality in this country would skyrocket. Because, you know, you did not want people, they did not want to serve. They'll find any way and every way to get out of it. I mean, if you hear how Kevin Smith talks, so, I mean, there's always that inherent business going on. So, if anyone sees Kevin Smith engage in any kind of gay activity, I think it would cause them to light their genitals on fire. So,
or I would say that about any sexual activity involving Kevin Smith.
Oh, I agree.
No offense to the Kevin Smith, I'm a fan of his, but if I am
he does a good show.
If I vision him having sex at all,
well, he did have sex. He had that kid.
I know, but I don't want to think about it.
Yeah,
otherwise,
no.
I get physically violently ill.
Right.
Oh
God.
No, I gotta take a minute. Go ahead.
Ugh. But I will say, I mean, his show is great. Sometimes he just, because I know it's his shtick, every episode involves him talking about sucking cock in one way or the other. It's like,
everything
oh, move
he does,
on already.
It's like his eternal obsession.
Yeah, I know. In fact, someone said on the boards, you know, like, that Rob is like Kevin Smith when he's talking about sex or like something like that. I said, Rob is not Kevin Smith. And that's because Rob may talk about his cock, but he never talks about sucking cock. So... Yeah,
it's a huge difference because Kevin Smith. I'm not saying that he's interested in having that happen.
Yeah.
But he's certainly obsessed with the idea. Like it's a preoccupation. Like it comes up in everything.
You know, and it's funny you mention that because I want to talk about one other thing in relation to that. When people are that obsessed about that sort of thing, it's like you always have that classic thing of like, you know, the anti-gay, you know, spokesperson or whatever, and it turns out they really love the gay sex, as the kids are calling it these days.
Yeah.
And then we had that with this guy, George Reckers, and I know that story's been going around for some time, so this is a bit old news. And when they, there was this free paper out of Miami called the Miami New Times. They did a profile on the guy, dude is like 20. I'm not going to say kid because he's of age, but he looks like a kid. And it was like, it just blew my mind of like, well, first off, obviously anyone who seems to be that obsessed about, you know, about whatever it is that
dudes blowing
gays,
other dudes.
Yeah. It's like
it pretty much says
that you love the cock. So
wait, can I interrupt just for a quick second? Interjection. Marissa, if you're listening, stop texting me while I'm doing the show. Stop it. Knock it off.
Well, she won't hear about it until about a week later.
No, so I know. I just wanted to throw that out there.
But so you have that first off, you got that weird thing going on, you know, basically these guys acting like that. Like I said, it was profiled in Outrage, that documentary I saw. And then there's this great thing in Angels in America, which is a very good...
I've seen that movie with the ghosts and they help the kid in the baseball
thing. Christopher Lloyd is not in Angels in America.
Oh, my God, okay.
No, that's it's another Angels in whatever. Danny Glover doesn't show up to mindlessly jabber in this.
Oh, God,
it's
based
on a play.
That's embarrassing, I got that wrong.
It's a surprise-winning play. It was written by the guy who wrote Munich. And Tony Kirshner. And it's very, very good. I mean, there's some parts I didn't like, but it's very good. And one of the great parts is that Al Pacino is in it, and he plays Roy Cohn, which I know you've heard of. And he has this whole thing, this great monologue with his doctor, who's played by James Cromwell. And it's like, Roy Cohn is not a homosexual. Roy Cohn is a man who fucks other men. And it goes on and on and on.
There's a difference, right?
Yes, there is a difference. Somehow there is a difference in their warped minds.
It's very subtle.
But
it's on the down low. I saw it on Law & Order.
Yes. As the...
Ice-T yelling at that guy for being gay. He's like, I'm not gay. We just have an understanding. It was dudes that would get together for gambling sessions. They tell their wives they're going to go gamble.
And then they just have rampant
sex. Sneak off into other rooms and then bone the hell out of each other. And then try to justify that they weren't gay. And it's like... And then Ice-T, I got news for you. You're gay.
Yeah, better go ahead. Go over to Pottery Barn because you just got yourself
got a one-way ticket to
check your lease, man. Because you're living in Fuck City. But so there's that stuff going on, and like, so you have those crazies, and then I always wondered, this is something that always was stuck in my head of, like, you have these young guys
blowing each other. No, wait, what are we talking about?
No, that's actually hot. But actually,
oh, God.
You have these young guys that are willing to pretty much have sex with these old, creepy dudes. And it blows my mind. Now, I know some people do it. They obviously do it for the money. And the money is good. But I cannot for the life of me, even if I was dead broke, I'd rather be working at McDonald's than, you know, trying to sell myself out as a escort, yeah, as it were. And I can't for the life of me. I've talked to some people about this that don't, I mean, they don't do the work, but that they're familiar with it, and they just, I mean, from what they tell me, it is basically that either they don't care, they get off on it, or they really like the money. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
I don't
mine.
Think there's anything rational to it.
I guess, I mean, I don't, are you saying
it's
sex,
I don't think it's
general?
Calculating.
I mean, do you, what, well, I mean, what do you think of, like, I mean, because...
What do I think of prostitution?
What do you think of prostitution?
Well, I've never dabbled
in
prostitution.
You don't need to answer whether you've
no,
done
it. No, I've never, ever, yeah. I've never had sex with a hooker, and I've never solicited a prostitute, thankfully, I
yes.
guess. I mean, I've never had that, you know, had to do that. So I would, I guess I'm not a big fan. I wouldn't personally do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the question exactly?
I don't know. I guess
what do you think of prostitution?
Yeah, exactly. I
it's
mean,
really,
to me,
I don't know how to answer
it's called the world's oldest profession for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been around since time began, but.
Well, there's always the hooker with the heart of gold, so.
Oh, yeah. With the pimp that takes no shit.
Yeah.
From the honkies that try to bring him down. So, you have the I mean, to me, I've always said this. If they're two consenting adults, everyone knows what they're doing. They're being professionals, you know. Why
they're
the hell not?
They're being professionals.
Yeah,
the
you know,
guy,
I think
the guy soliciting the hooker is not a professional, unless it's Hugh Grant. He was
no, he's just being classy about it, like Richard Gere in Pretty Woman.
Classy,
because of course you'll always find the hooker that looks like Julia
Roberts.
I don't
know that there's anything classy about paying for sex.
To me, it's just a need. If you gotta do it, you gotta.
I'm not judging anybody who does. I mean, you want to go.
I mean, it's not something I would necessarily say to be proud of.
You
want to
play, like, Russian roulette with STDs and...
That's
and,
the thing. This is
know.
Where this is where it should be legalized, because then you can regulate the ever-loving shit out of it. So, but it'd be
I
tough.
Guess.
I mean, some
can
people
you imagine
claim,
you'd be paying taxes for a hook? I'm assuming
well,
it would be a government. Like, isn't in Vegas, isn't it...
there are counties outside of Vegas that allow it. There are legalized brothels.
I got this reason for some. I got this weird idea that it was a government institution for some reason. That it was since there are regulations.
I think
on
the
it,
state does regulate it though.
It regulates it, but it's not responsible for it, right? It's not profiting from it.
No, I
is
don't
that
think
right?
It's state run. It's private owned business.
Okay, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking it was state run, and I was like, wait a minute, we're paying taxes. We'd be paying.
We
taxes.
We should be paying our taxes to subsidize our whores.
That'd be
we
so
weird. We did it in
weird.
World War II.
Oh God.
We did.
Really? I don't know anything about that.
Well, we weren't alive at the time, but...
Well, yeah, but I meant...
As you know, to me, you know, being the professionals that you're being, you know, what you're doing, and the, you know, the prostitute knows what they're doing, and you just, you have your way, and you be done, you don't get rough, and you don't get fresh with the ladies. You don't get fresh with the merchandise.
You have them wear
as
a
for
bear
the male thing...
The bear costume.
The escort, yeah, you're basically reenacting that one scene from The Shining. As for the male prostitutes, I mean, there are the escorts, like, that they claim that these men will hire... You know, young guys for the company, as it were.
They just hang out. It's not
yeah,
sexual.
Yeah, it's nothing sexual going
yeah,
on at
they
all.
Play
wink,
they
wink.
Play Jenga and, you know, watch Lost together.
They drink
together.
Some Nescafe.
Yeah, no. They watch Queer as Folk and hang out. And
well, you know, you don't need two people to watch Queer as Folk, I can assure you. So, and I can go on about that show another time. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's there, and you know if a person's got to do what they got to do. Just like I
yeah,
said.
I have no experience with that. So
neither have
I. Got nothing.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
And I've never been propositioned. Although there has been the occasional creepy incident where, like, I was sitting in some bar and some guy basically said he wanted to fuck right then and there. I'm like, no. And then there was another thing where, like, there was some.
He
creepy...
didn't buy you a drink first.
No, he did not even have the common decency to buy me. I was sitting in a Starbucks and this happened. Granted, I was wearing a skirt, but...
oh, my God.
I had leggings on. Sure, I may have looked like a member from Tokyo Hotel, but, you know, it was all good.
Wait, then, you weren't really wearing a skirt, were you?
I was wearing a skirt, yes. I actually
serious?
Bought a skirt. I can wear a size 8, but the problem is that I did it for... I was going to do it for free hugs. And, cause
I'm
really,
afraid to ask more about this story.
There really isn't anything. We didn't do free hugs because the group president was sick. We couldn't do it. I did get a free beer out of it, And although I had to carry all my stuff in a bag, in a clear bag, and then I wore leggings, so obviously I needed to. I couldn't wear the skirt.
How is that related to what was going on in this scenario? Like what?
Okay, because I just happened to be wearing a skirt at the time.
Okay.
But anyway, and then there was another incident where some guy was, you know, pretty much would not let. He had his arm like, or he was like, he was trying to talk to me, and you know, clearly the guy was drunk, and I basically, as soon as he turned around, oddly enough, I was wearing a scarf at the time, but I immediately, as soon as he turned around, I made a beeline for the door, and I ran the hell out, and I just started, and I did not look back. So, that's happened, and it's not often, so, I can't bring myself to do it, because I never understood this. There's another great example of, and I heard this on Savage Love, there is a iPhone app called Grindr, and there's this great segment on Current called That's Gay. It's really cool. It's a guy who writes for Funny or Die. And they do a piece on Grindr. Anyway, it's this phone app that you basically can capture other guys. And you can try to hook up. So the guy on Savage Love talks about using Grindr. And he comes across this guy nearby. But it's like he said it's a fat dude. He's not attractive. Effectively what ends up happening, he ends up pity fucking the guy. He's not attractive. I'm like, why did you fuck the guy? I don't understand. Why would you have sex with an ugly person?
Unless
money exchanged hands, I can understand that. But I don't understand if you didn't. How could you do the pity fuck unless you can't have? Because you got to be able to get it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was there a bag over the head? I don't know.
Maybe it's a really good imagination.
I guess I can't understand where you could really have. To me, you got to have some attraction. I don't think so.
The
man
is independent from his genitalia.
Either that, unless it's a prison rape situation. So,
a pity rape?
Prison rape?
No, I mean that would be what he did. It was a pity rape.
No, it's not a pity rape. It's a pity fuck.
But
pity
prison situation.
Prison situation is a whole other issue.
I don't even want to talk about the prison. Yeah, I think we've gone far enough.
Yeah, just watch Oz.
Let's bring it
back. Get all your information on that.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, there's all that.
Well,
going
there's
on.
Also the pity sex is something that I wish there had been more of going on in high school.
Oh, yeah.
But that's another. That's something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's.
I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah. Well, more free love for the rest of us bastards.
Not that there was no other sex going on in high school, by the way. I'm not saying
it's
that.
It's none of my
that's
business, obviously.
I'm just putting that out there because it made it sound like maybe. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving on.
Moving on, indeed. So, you know.
We'll just cut that whole part out of
the show. Yeah, exactly. we'll redo that in post. So, anyway. we're going to introduce a new little segment here on the Ed Hawkins Show because my voicemail, Talk Cock with Hawk, is currently not operating for some reason. I have no idea why. So I decided to call this Ed Hawkins Question Time. And in this situation, you can go to the Brain Dead Radio forums at forums.braindeadradio.com and post if you're a member of the Brain Dead Radio forums. Or actually, no. You know, well, yeah, you have to be.
Well, you can become a member.
You can
cool
become
forum.
A member.
You
very
should
easy
join
to
up.
Do.
Yeah.
Just send me $5 to Ed at, anyway, so you become a member on the site, and you can write in a question. We have a thread in the Ed Hawkins Show section called Ed Hawkins Question Time, and in it, we will ask, be able to respond to any questions you have, and currently, we have ourselves a question sent in by our own Vin, man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, as it says so on the t-shirt, has sent in a question for Ed Hawkins Question Time, and in it, Vin writes, "The zombie apocalypse has happened. It's been 2 hours since the first reported outbreak. What do you do? You have not planned. You do not own any guns. You have nothing in the fridge. What do you do?" So I'm going to begin with you, Randall. What do you think? Do you have any ideas if the zombie apocalypse were to happen?
Well, Vin couldn't have nailed it down any further. I never plan for anything. My fridge is always empty, and I don't own a gun. So this is exactly the scenario I'd be in. And I always get all my information late.
Okay.
So 2 hours after I hear about the zombie apocalypse, I live right next door to a liquor store, a big liquor store marketplace.
Yeah.
I probably hide in there. It's only got one entrance and no windows.
Okay.
And I'll find my way in. I'll get in there.
Yes.
And we'll go in, and they got tons of Lunchables and booze. I think that's how I think I'd be good hanging there for a while. After that,
I think that's how we won Nom, actually.
Possibly. Yes. But you know, I'd have to go like Rambo with some of this stuff too, and maybe make some weapons out of some crazy
shit.
Would
you go Rambo or would you go Commando?
I'd have to go Rambo. I'm not capable of going Commando.
Yeah, no one can go.
Well, Commando. When I say going Commando, I mean Arnold Commando.
Yeah, not running around without underwear.
Yeah, not just removing underpants.
And well, yeah, that can be easily done. We're not doing that here. I don't want to see it. Yeah, and it's for me. So let's see. It's 2 hours into the zombie apocalypse. We know all hell's breaking loose. I refer to now. Here's what I'd like to know, and I don't want to play you split hairs here because I'm reminded of the great movie Miracle Mile with Anthony Edwards, where basically, Anthony Edwards finds out from some random phone call in a phone booth that the missiles have been launched and nuclear holocaust is about to occur. So it could be one of two things. Not everyone has known about the outbreak, but there are some people that do know, and they're working to get the hell out. I would try to hitch a ride with one of those people and get the hell out.
Wait, how the hell would you do that, though? Like, let's say you're just in your house right now, and somebody, I call you up, and I'm like, dude, I'm in this liquor store. I got all these Lunchables and booze and everything. The zombie apocalypse is breaking out. Okay. Watch out, lock your doors. You got this big-ass window right here. You're going to be screwed.
Yeah, I know.
So what do you
so
do,
for
man?
Me,
so what's the first move you make?
Well, if that's the case and all hell is not broken out, obviously I'm going to jump in my car and then, you know, haul ass out. If the car is not
usable... Wait, you got to get all the way out to your car, though. There's a lot of distance.
How fast are these zombies moving?
It's well, not what if that... they're already here? Like your neighbors are zombies, maybe?
Oh, I would have heard about it online, though, or something. I mean, how do we... I mean... It doesn't say that the
zombies
are... Let's
say the internet was out, though. Like, and okay. The only way you found out was I called you.
Okay.
And told you about
it. Then I would break the window and run the hell out.
Okay, but... Okay. Why wouldn't you just try your door?
Oh, I don't know. I'd look outside the door, and maybe that's
what if there were zombies outside the window and outside the
well,
door?
Well, we can't prepare for that. I'm just saying either, no, but I mean, like, either break the window or be able to just run outside. So I run outside. I want to jump in my car if all hell's not bringing this. If I cannot get to my car, I just run like a son of a bitch. Okay.
Did you grab a weapon from in here, though? You got these bar stools right here.
I do have a hammer.
You have a hammer? There you go.
Yeah, I do have a hammer.
You got a vacuum right behind me, too.
That's not going to do shit. This isn't the Simpsons arcade game. So I have a hammer. I can do that one scene from Old Boy, maybe. Okay. I have the hammer. I run outside. If I can get away with not... If the zombies aren't running fast and I could move very briskly, I would try to first... First off, I'm going to need some money. Even though I know the currency system, you know, money will probably not be used to exchange for goods or services. I try to get some cash. I have the hammer. I break the ATM open with the hammer. Next, I try...
Which ATM would this be?
Oh, I don't know. Any local ATM.
Okay.
I try to break it open with a hammer, although I'm not sure it could work. I've seen Breaking Bad. I probably won't be able to do it, but
I don't think
that
would work. I don't think that's how that works.
God damn it. Okay.
Wait, okay, would you come hang out in my fortress of booze and Lunchables?
I'd consider it if I can get over to where you are, but personally I would try to get transportation.
Yeah.
I would personally want to have some sort of large vehicle. I would like a cop car, but then I realize if I hit the lights and sirens...
But wait, how are you going to get the cop car, though?
The cop car is just left outside, because the
cops...
You just
abandoned cop car, and then, like, there's cops, the cops are zombies, and they're dead?
No, there's no... It's like Resident Evil 2. There's just no one around.
Okay. Well, that's pretty convenient.
Well, God damn it, I gotta work with what I got here. So say there's that. Although, if I realize if I... Because if I hit the lights and sirens, I may attract more attention. But the cop car could take a lot of abuse. Plus, the shotgun is in the car. So at least I've got something. And I ain't saying just the two buckshot, you know, two-barrel shotgun they got in Zombieland where I got to, like, reload every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I would try to get something like that. Granted, I haven't fired a gun in 10 years. But goddamn it, I got to use what I got. So, yeah, I would try to see if I can get you. But then if I figured if you're fortified... You may want it just to hold tight.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Okay. Now, let's say in the middle of this, because I got to interject again. I got this idea. I call you back up with an update. Check this out.
Okay.
And I go, Ed, update. We got out of the fortress from across the street in the liquor store, but I forgot that there was an AM/PM even closer to me. So what we're doing is we drove over there, because these are all literally within walking distance.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, one building next to me. It's very easy to get to these places without getting killed by a zombie.
Right.
So I go to AM/PM. No one's there. I use the gas station pumps to create a barrier of gasoline, and I light it on fire.
A wall of fire?
A wall of fire, and we can keep replenishing
just like in that
it.
Book with the ants.
We can keep replenishing it for a while because there's a lot of gasoline to go
around.
Wait,
how do you know you're not going to set the gas station on fire and it'll explode?
Because I'm going to put the
put the gas around the booze store.
I'm going to put the gas around the outer. I'm going to create a perimeter and that's far away from the gas. The gas lines. That is a firewall.
Okay.
Literally a firewall.
Yeah.
Probably set many other things ablaze as well. There's lots of plants and stuff around.
You also can use the alcohol as a Molotov cocktail.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just
gonna
start.
That's
pretty good. And then I'm gonna start squirting zombies with gas and lighting them on fire.
That's brilliant. Have your own Flamethrower.
Exactly.
I love it.
And there's, again, AMPM has even more food.
Will you laugh maniacally as you're operating this?
Oh, yes. I'm going to eat beef jerky and have all the Diet Coke I need in the AMPM and start.
You're going to be like, you'll be like Jesse Ventura in Predator, basically.
Exactly.
I ain't got time to believe.
And then when we're ready to go, because I'll be like, come to the fortress, you can drive right through the fire, I think, without lighting on fire, unless the gasoline gets in your tires and just lights you. I don't know how that works. But if it were like anything like an action movie, you could just drive
I think
right
maybe you have an idea of maybe it'd be better to hold up in a small building with no windows. If not, I think the other only other option would be you get in the car, you find out where you're safe, you may have to drive out of the city.
I'm thinking I think if I could fire off my block, like a firewall around that block right there on Moore Park and Coldwater.
Yeah.
If I could get the firewall around enough stores, that would be the perfect place to hang out. There's a dry cleaners. There's a pizza place. There's a pizza place.
It's a shitty pizza
It is. It's the worst pizza place. But they got everything in there, though. And I could make my own pizza, and it'd be better than my pizza. And then there's a flower shop.
Mm-hmm.
There's
in case you want to eat some flowers.
Real estate place around the corner.
So we can buy some houses.
Yeah, exactly.
With the money I've
stolen
from the bank.
There's some new condos right next to that.
Yeah.
There is the liquor store, the printing place, the little photo place.
You make some business cards?
Right. I think we'd do all right. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we'd do that.
That's not a bad idea. Just
we could at least we could get some shit together and then possibly build one of those armored anti-zombie cars with some of the stuff that we've got over there and then hit the road.
Yeah, exactly. And
after
then would we want to head to Mexico or to Nevada?
Well, right down the street there's a Big Five Sporting Goods, and I think I'd want to hit place first.
Oh,
because
that's right. They have the guns in there.
Exactly. And they got armor. We can get body armor, guns.
Don't have body armor at Big Five.
Well, like, you know, sport stuff. At least enough
There used to be a gun store in North Hollywood called B&B, and this was a famous, I remember it because, well, my dad used to shop there, but then there was also, during the North Hollywood bank shootout of 1997, the cops, who were so underpowered,
they went to the
ran to the gun store, and they picked some nice good shit.
Oh, nice.
And what was I also remember at the time was that they had called the SWAT guys in, and they had been working out. The SWAT guys just had some body armor and gym shorts and started wailing with their M16s and just started opening fire.
We need to get the closest thing we can get to riot gear. And now what we get is...
Oh, now here's a question about riot gear. Do we want new school riot gear?
Now, hold on.
Or Chicago 1968 bust some hippies riot gear? Because I can go for some 1968 riot gear.
We're making our way across the valley here. Okay. So where we are, I tell you, show up. You come to this firewall, fired-off block that I've got going on. Maybe we got some refugees, but we're going to have to sort out the transportation business. But I know that Marissa's car that we're going to use is going to...
Well, wait. I have the cop car, which is bigger.
Oh, that's right. You got a cop car. Yeah. Shit. Okay. Yeah, that's great, man. So then we use your cop car.
And then I could donate
the other car to somebody if they need it.
And then with the cop car, we can try and radio the appropriate menu.
But let's say we can't get a hold of anyone because it's all crazy.
Yeah, the radio's dead.
And we've got a two-hour disadvantage here. And so what we do is we first go to Big Five because it's right down the street.
Yeah.
We get duct tape. We get body armor for
myself up an extra pair of jammers.
Paintball armor.
I'll get those
jammers.
Yes.
And we're going to take these jammers. We're going to duct tape body armor all over our bodies so that we don't get bit by zombies.
Right.
And take like hockey helmets and all this shit and
makeshift
weapons.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You can load up on weapons at Big Five Sporting Goods, even some baseball bats. Cricket bats. I don't care what you're going to use if you want to be like Shaun of the Dead or
true,
whatever.
An aluminum baseball bat goes very far. Although, personally, we should go for the... Because, I mean, I know the chainsaw, you know, everyone loves the chainsaw.
That's too messy, too close contact.
It's too messy, yeah. I mean, that's like using the baseball bat. I personally, I mean, you want to go with a good class shotgun. There's no reason to use a handgun. It's not going to work.
Yes, I would work on a zombie.
Handgun?
Yeah, you just blow its brains out.
Pretty powerful handgun, though. I mean, it's going to be loud as hell.
Well, I would take every gun and every last thing I can get my hands on.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to fight other people, too, eventually. There's going to be some fucked up people that are going to want to steal your car.
Just fire off in the air. Well, yeah, that's true.
Fire off in the air? Dude, what are you talking about?
I'm wasting ammo. That's going to attract attention.
I'm putting people down.
That's true. You're going to have to realize you're going to...
The rules
of engagement have been suspended.
I got my friend here. We might have to pick up my mom. I got to go... I got Marissa there.
That's true. I mean, I have my family, but, like, I don't have time, so I'm like, fuck this, I'm out of here. I don't have anything going on. I'm single. I got no love at once. Fuck it. I'm out of here.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, we gotta protect everybody.
We could head to San Francisco because that's a peninsula. Bomb the bridges. wall off the bottom.
Yeah.
And you got yourself something.
Wall off the bottom with fire.
Yeah. Perpetual fire. Or you go to the port. There's Terminal Island. It's a prison.
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz won't do shit. It's not possible. We have our own. It's Terminal Island. and we head down there. Or, like I said, we go to Mexico. For some reason, the shit's cool down there. I don't know why.
You really want to go hang out with Mexican zombies, though?
That's a good point.
Well, like,
I mean, that's the thing. Do we want to head to Nevada or do we want to go to Mexico?
It's less, when I say that, I mean, because it's like less resources down there. You know, it's like right here.
But the zombies won't be able to drink the water in Mexico.
What is it? They're not going to.
They'll die because of the Mexican water.
But,
you see what I'm talking about?
I don't think zombies drink water to begin with. It's all about the.
Well, I know zombies, but see, the water is so polluted down there, they won't be able to travel and get us.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't know what I'm talking about either.
You're freaking out. But
yes.
I think, should we head for high ground? Should we go to the mountains?
I don't know, because the mountains could lead you into a situation where you could be easily blocked off. I mean,
that's
the roads
right.
are narrow.
Yeah, it's true.
And although, if you were in a situation, you would start a brush fire, cook all the zombies.
But then possibly
that
kill
brush
yourself.
Is tinder dry, you'll be able to get your problem taken care of.
Yeah.
And then you immediately head for the desert, because in the desert, there's all that flat land. You will not be cornered.
That's true. You can go Bakersfield. Or
yeah, no one's going to want to touch Bakersfield. Who are we kidding?
Even zombies are going to
go. No
zombies
going to go to the Central Valley.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So,
and then we're on the road. We go out there. We make it out there. We got weapons and shit.
Which go to Area 51.
Yeah.
And find out there's nothing there, because it was all a big joke. And then we could immediately go to Vegas and then realize there's nothing there either. So
Vegas was a lie.
I know. Total lie.
But see, the thing is, this scenario doesn't end. I mean, the zombies, like, every time there's a zombie story, there's no real end to the zombie madness.
Yeah, the question really would have to be if this is a national thing or if it's a local thing. And then, basically,
it's national.
You travel to wherever you can go where they're not there, or you just keep moving, and you find yourself somewhere wherever it's fortified. Maybe it's Pittsburgh, maybe it's San Francisco.
We'd have to go to Lancaster, which is in the desert, because there's a lot of military bases out there.
Ooh, good call.
And I think they're
closed
off.
You have Edwards, you have 29 Palms.
Yeah. They're closed off enough, I think, where you can go out there and start figuring out, you know, because the military is going to be the ones to start cleaning house anyway.
Yeah, right.
Might as well go to them, and then they'll kill us immediately.
Yes.
But at least it'll be a swift, painless death.
Yeah, right, as opposed to being chewed to death.
Right, exactly.
Oh, God. So that was a good question, I would say. I still think you would want to head to a place that could be easily sealed off. And like I said, your idea is good. For me, you find a good peninsula or island.
Also, if we can get a hold of a tank for some reason, like let's say we go to the Air Force Base.
Oh, that's good.
Now, here's the thing. If we go to the Air Force Base, nothing going on, and there's just a tank, we use the tank, but then we also set the tank on fire.
Why do we want to set the tank on fire? That's
because
just
it's an anti-zombie tank. And that's the best way to deter
zombies. Is it even
possible?
I mean, you're going
to
need
an
anti-tank
gun.
Then
we go to Walmart after that, because there's a huge Walmart in Lancaster.
Okay.
We close it off.
Get some more guns.
Close it off. We live there for a while.
And then we get some spray paint because I want to just tag shit. So.
Yeah, exactly. We just start spray painting everything.
Just say Hawken is here. So.
Right, yeah.
Hawken still lives.
Well, it would be Hawken Palace, and then we would take that place over. There's a McDonald's.
And then my visage, I'd establish my own kingdom.
Right.
The V-neck would be required wear, and eventually I'm
taking down
Saddam.
We would all adopt the V-neck.
Yes.
And
Boddington's would be the official beverage.
V-neck and jammers, and then duct tape armor over that. I got to keep the body armor because I don't want to get chewed by zombies.
When you say body armor, do you actually mean actual body armor or
no,
the surfer
we don't. Let's
body
say we don't
armor.
Get a hold of body armor.
I know.
We get that plastic shit that you wear in like soccer or paintball, and we just tape it all over our bodies.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah,
it
good
doesn't
idea.
Have to be like.
I think
know,
also
practical.
Good transportation that could work, but it'd be slow as shit as an armored car.
No man, no too
bulky.
It's I don't know. It's maybe, but. I'm thinking of something that's a little easier.
See, that's
easier
the thing I
gas.
Wonder. If, like, all hell is breaking loose, you may not be able to drive. Like I said, this reminds me of Miracle Mile a lot, where you had two situations. No one knows that's happening. Full-blown hell breaks loose.
We get a helicopter.
That's true, actually, and just don't drive into the nuclear pulse. That's a good idea. Just get a helicopter.
Now, I don't know if anyone...
That's true. There is the airport nearby. There is Van Nuys Airport. We haul ass.
We kidnap a pilot.
But even though we don't know how to fly...
Yeah.
We may have to hijack John Travolta.
Yeah.
Because he'd be the only... Oh, God. But then we'd be stuck on a plane with John Travolta. We may want to kill ourselves at that point.
Just jump out.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, if the roads are all blocked and stuff, then we're totally screwed.
Then we just run.
No, man. What are you talking about?
What,
we got all this body armor on. It's going to be sweaty and tired. I have asthma. I can't run that far.
Then you stay holed up in your liquor store. I'll go find something else.
I will...
There's also the giant brewery. That may be a good place to hide out. But
oh,
then
yeah, the Budweiser plant.
But it's Budweiser, so we're screwed either way.
get hammered and start killing zombies.
But it's Budweiser. Oh, God, it's Budweiser.
Whatever. In this scenario, you can make it.
But the plant is huge. You can drink a lot of water in there.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think that may be some good stuff.
I think we could really make it out here. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. You know, it's... And then, eventually, they'll burn themselves out.
Yeah.
Because really, they can only feed on each other at some point. So I think that was some very good questions on the part of Vin, and I really hope, once again, if anyone else has some questions, by all means, please leave one for Ed Hawkins, question time. So yeah, I think with that, unless you got any other ideas yourself, we could definitely say ourselves are done on this very fine episode. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so.
Absolutely.
We're good to go.
So with that, for the Ed Hawkins Show, I'm Ed Hawkins.
And this is Randall.
I got nothing this time, so...